This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, April 17th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We'll get to all the NBA and all the baseball, but we're going to start with three NHL playoff games. Now, all three of these games yesterday, all three series, Boston, Washington, Rangers, Ottawa, Blues against the San Jose Sharks. The lower seed had stolen home ice advantage by winning one game in the other guy's building. So the Capitals had won once in Boston. Ottawa had won once in New York. San Jose had won once in St. Louis. And now they all switch back. But a funny thing happens is all three higher seeds won to take back home ice. And this is how it is in the NHL. An 8 can be to 1. A team can lose home ice advantage and gain it back. You can win on the road. It's not basketball, where those things happen on only very rare occasions. But yesterday, the Rangers, in the wake of Hagelin's three-game suspension, where everybody in New York, maybe except me, thinks it's unreasonable. I think you can quibble two games versus three games. Brendan Shanahan, the dean of discipline, was on the radio for 20 minutes yesterday in New York, but really didn't explain it. I thought he did a good job sticking up for his decisions, but you know, it all went bad early on when Shade Weber took Zetterberg's head, Zetterberg of the Red Wings, and just banged it against the glass and didn't, you know, got fined $2,500. So anything he decides now is going to be questionable because everybody's going to go back to why didn't Shea Weber get a game. And Shanahan almost said maybe Shea Weber should have gotten a game, but whatever. Yesterday, an all-time playoff game, Rangers won, Ottawa nothing in Ottawa. Lundqvist with 39 saves was unbelievable. Craig Anderson has played very well for Ottawa as well. The goal wasn't a freak goal, but it was one of those semi-funny bounce goals. I mean, I'd say the last 10, 12 years, there's now a play where a defenseman will throw a puck wide of the net on purpose to go off the boards and then come back out where maybe his guy can get it. That's what Dan Girardi did yesterday, but it was a strange bounce because Girardi hit the boards with the puck. The puck bounced out and hit the bottom of the side of the net and then bounced out to Brian Boyle, the newest offensive star for the New York Rangers, 6'7" Brian Boyle, who then just backhanded the puck past Anderson for the only goal of the game, 7:35 into the third period. So this was a different kind of game than Game 1 or Game 2. Not the fighting. Look, I think the whole Philly-Pittsburgh series and Game 2 of Ottawa Rangers is a disgrace to the NHL. And again, I'm not a guy who says there should be no fighting in the NHL, but that whole series, Philly-Pittsburgh, and that Game 2, New York-Ottawa, was just, you know, if you're looking for people to come in and want to watch hockey and love hockey and actually care about hockey, forget about it if they're watching that other series or even Game 2, New York-Ottawa. But yesterday, old-time playoff game, lots of scoring opportunities. This was not everybody playing a trap or something. There were lots of scoring opportunities. In fact, after the Rangers scored, 7:35 into the third period, so obviously a little over 12 minutes left, Ottawa had a number of chances to score. And Kyle Turris, in the last minute, right in front, right on the doorstep in front of Lundqvist with the puck, with a half a second or so to make a move, and Lundqvist was able to make a big save. They had, I thought, Ottawa had three or four chances in the last 5 or 6 minutes to tie up that game, which obviously is what they had done before, and then they won in overtime. So that's a big win. Lundqvist coming up big. You know, there's a criticism in New York, which I think is unjustified, but Lundqvist has not played as well in the playoffs as he has in the regular season. I think that's 100% because he was always exhausted, and this year he's not. I really think that's the difference. Are the Rangers of this year better than the Rangers of the last few years? Absolutely. But I think there's more to it than that. Marty Biron is the forgotten man. You never hear his name mentioned, but he did a good job for the Rangers, and Lundqvist got more rest this year. And I think what you're seeing now is a healthy, rested Lundqvist in the playoffs, arguably for the first time So I don't think it's any surprise that he's playing out of his mind. So, yes, the Rangers lost something with Hagelin and the suspension. But Chris Kreider, that 20-year-old out of Boston College who won a national championship like 9 days ago, he was okay. I mean, talk about throwing a guy into the fire. To stick him in a playoff game on the Rangers' number one line against this team, Ottawa, and the way they played game two was a huge chore. I think he was okay to a little better than okay. But he had a chance on the doorstep. I don't know if he got all of the puck, but he had a chance one time. But I thought overall he was okay. And again, you're talking about a college kid walking into the NHL playoffs. So to be okay is pretty good, and he's only going to get better. I can understand. You know, I was a guy who said the Rangers should go get Nash because their power play is still so-so. I think if they lose in the playoffs, it will be because of their lack of a power play. But you couldn't give up this guy Kreider and a bunch of other guys. Apparently, Columbus asked for the sun, the stars, and the moon. So the Rangers did make the right decision. They do go up 2-1. They do retain or take back home ice advantage from Ottawa after Ottawa had beaten them in overtime. In the Garden in Game 2. So the only goal at 7:35 of the third, Brian Boyle, his third of the playoffs. He scored in every game against Ottawa. And again, if before the playoffs you said what Ranger is going to score in the first three games, score a goal in each game, you'd probably have like 10 guys before you get to Brian Boyle, maybe 15. But it's not Gabrick, it's not Richards, it's Brian Boyle. Assist to Dan Girardi and Callahan on the play. Rangers won. Ottawa nothing. Again, take nothing away from Craig Anderson. He's played very well. But the King had it going yesterday, 39 saves. The Rangers with only 23 shots on goal, but they get the important win. Rangers won, Ottawa nothing. Rangers lead the series 2-1. Another interesting game, defending Stanley Cup champions Boston. Now down in Washington to play the Capitals. The Capitals got one up in Boston, so it was 1-1. As Braden Holtby, I thought, has been playing well. Yesterday, however, the Bruins come back from a 1-0 deficit and a 2-1 deficit, and they get the win. Boston 4, Washington 3. Tim Thomas, last season's Conn Smythe winner, MVP of the playoffs. You know, I think he's the difference. He's just got too much experience. I think Holtby played great the first two games. He was just okay yesterday. Boston 4, Washington 3. Semin scores for Washington. Ovechkin scores for Washington. Brooks Lash scores for Washington. You know, those are the guys you expect to score, especially Ovechkin and Semin. But after going up 1-0, Rich Peverley scores a goal to tie it. And then when Ovechkin scores to put it up 2-1, Daniel Pye scores to make it 2-2, and then Brian Ralston gets his first of the playoffs in the third period to give them the lead. After Washington ties it up with just a minute and 53 seconds left, Zdeno Chara scores his first of the playoffs on that booming slap shot from the right point, skated in a little from Bergeron and Seidenberg to give Boston the big win, Boston 4, Washington 3. And again, it is a big win because Washington had beaten the Bruins up in Boston to take home ice away from Boston, but now Boston regains it just like the Rangers did. Boston 4, Washington 3. Boston leads the series 2-1. The fourth game is in Washington, but they do have Boston now has home ice advantage back in their favor. Third game last night, St. Louis goes out to San Jose. Same deal. St. Louis had split with San Jose in St. Louis. St. Louis 4, San Jose 3, and it was all St. Louis early, little too late comeback by San Jose. Patrick Berglund scored his third to open the scoring for St. Louis. Brent Burns got his first to tie it up. But then in the second period, Andy McDonald scored his second and Jason Arnott his first of the playoffs to give St. Louis a commanding 3-1 lead, which became 4-1 59 seconds into the third when Alex Steen scored his first of the playoffs. So it's 4-1 going down the stretch, but with a little over 3 minutes left, Colin White scores his first for San Jose to make it 4-2. And then with 17 seconds left, Logan Couture, they just rush the net, and he scores from Thornton and Havlett 4-3, and they rush the net again towards the buzzer, but they can't score. So St. Louis holds on. St. Louis 4, San Jose 3. pretty much the same deal now. St. Louis had lost home ice advantage, but they now lead San Jose 2-1. So all three teams, the Rangers, the Blues, and the Boston Bruins, all regained home ice advantage in their respective series. The Blues have really capitalized on the power play. Yesterday, they had three of their four goals were scored on the power play, and the nine goals that they've scored in the three games, five of them have been on the power play. So obviously, San Jose is going to have to go out of their way not to take penalties because they're having a lot of trouble stopping the St. Louis Blues on the power play. We'll get to the NBA after the break. Want to go to a couple of miscellaneous things. Announced this morning, or maybe late last night, there's a 2 o'clock press conference today down in Kentucky, University of Kentucky basketball program. And you know, they're becoming, I think they're actually called One and Done U, because a lot of their guys, you know, going back a few years to John Wall, every year, there seems to be guys who just leave the program. And that's the way it is now until they change the rules. Again, you can't blame Calipari for that. I think if you're a superstar high school player, and Calipari will reload for next year, and I don't think he's coming to the Knicks. I think he's staying at Kentucky. But if you want to be the guy who has to go to college for a year and is a lock to go to the NBA, and you have to go to college for a year unless you're Brandon Jennings and you go to Europe, but it didn't sound like that was such a great time for Brandon Jennings, although he's an excellent point guard in the NBA now for the Milwaukee Bucks. The place to go in American colleges is UK, Kentucky. So I think he'll reload again, but there's a press conference today at 2 o'clock Eastern where it's expected that the entire starting five, three freshmen and two sophomores, are all going to go pro. I mean, Davis is going to be the first pick of the draft. Kid Gilchrist is supposedly the second pick of the draft. But Deron Lamb is going, Teague, the point guard, is going, Jones is going. You know, they had Darius Miller, who accepted the role graciously and productively as the sixth man. And I thought he, as much as anyone, was a reason they won a national title. But it looks like the starting five of Kentucky, it looks like all five of them will announce. Personally, I thought Teague could use another year, the point guard. I think, frankly, a lot of these guys, not Davis, not Kid Gilchrist, if you're going 1-2 in the draft, and that's how they're projected in that order, Davis 1, Kid Gilchrist 2, seems to me you got to go. But I don't know. I think it would be a good idea for some of these other guys to get an extra year. I think Teague is a good example. I don't know that Teague can walk into the league and play the point in the NBA next year. And if you're going to show up and be a backup, you know, why not hone your skills one more year under Calipari, who's got all the connections anyway? And barring injury, and that is a big if, obviously, if you don't get injured, Teague would go much higher in next year's draft than he will in this year's draft. But right now, it hasn't been officially confirmed. There is a press conference at 2 o'clock. But right now, the early reports are that the entire Kentucky starting five, Davis, Kidd, Gilchrist, Jones, Lamb, and Teague, are all going to declare for the NBA draft, along with Darius Miller. They might very well have six number one picks, and you heard Calipari last year, they had five number one picks in the NBA draft. He said, why not go for six, and then next year we can go for seven. So obviously he's doing some recruiting prior to even winning that national championship, and now we'll see how many guys he can bring in. You know he's going to bring in a bunch of guys who are unbelievable, a number of whom will leave after 1 year. But the University of Kentucky, now the defending national champions, Calipari's first, of course, will probably announce at 2 p.m. today that all five of their starters this year will be leaving, three freshmen, two sophomores, will be leaving for the NBA draft. That's 2 o'clock Eastern. I know ESPN already announced they'll be carrying it. I don't know where else it'll be, but it will be on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
If you are a diabetic and concerned about maintaining your healthy blood glucose levels, please stay tuned to this important message. A market trial offer is starting now for a revolutionary breakthrough in natural blood sugar management called Glymetrol, and you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We are looking for 200 callers to receive a free trial, so call immediately. 1-888-799-9950. The ups and downs you experience from naturally fluctuating blood sugar levels can be frustrating. Clinical studies of the key ingredients in Glymitrol have shown these ingredients to be effective in supporting healthy glucose management. And now this new formula is being released to the general public. Your area has been selected to try it right now for free. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now, 1-888-799-9950. 1-888-799-9950.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Cala Show. We're going to switch to the NBA now. The most interesting game by far, Oklahoma City goes out to Los Angeles to play the Clippers. And we've talked all year. I thought it was going to be Oklahoma City, Miami. I really thought Miami was the only team in the East. But I thought, in addition to Oklahoma City, that the Clippers had a chance based on the superstar duo of Paul and Griffin. And they kind of fell into a slump, but yesterday, a fascinating game. The Thunder go out to the Clippers, and I think the Clippers served notice, and Kevin Durant seemed pretty upset after the game, that they at least can be a factor. Now, in the interim, the Spurs in the West, the Celtics in the East, putting up for the old one last run for their respective groups. I didn't think they could do it this year. Certainly they're both factors in their respective conference, but yesterday, the Thunder out at the Staples Center, they're up 52-43 at the half, and then the Clippers hold Oklahoma City to 25 second half points. Think about that. Oklahoma City, maybe the most explosive team in the league, 14 points in the third quarter, 11 points in the fourth quarter. The Clippers run away and hide 92-77 over the visiting Thunder. Now, Durant, 24 points, but 7 for 18 from the field and 0 for 7 from 3. Westbrook, only 9 points, 4 for 16 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3. So when your two superstars go 11 for 34 from the field and 1 for 12 from 3, well, it's going to be very hard for them to win. Give the Clippers a lot of credit. Blake Griffin, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. Chris Paul, 12 points, 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. But it's really guys like DeAndre Jordan with only 5 points but 12 rebounds. And now Nick Young, a very good pickup. Nick Young, 7 for 10, including 3 for 4 from 3. He has 19 points. So Los Angeles, a little better now. Foy starts, Caron Butler starts. They got a good starting five, obviously. Paul and Griffin, 2 stars. But now with Jordan doing the bulk of the rebounding, Nick Young coming off the bench, 19 points in 20 minutes last night. Clippers have moved up a notch. Could they beat Oklahoma City in the 7-game series? I don't think so. But they might be serving notice this year for next year because they're the next Oklahoma City, and that is the young athletic team. For Oklahoma City, someone's got to pick it up when Durant and Westbrook don't do well, but nobody did yesterday. Serge Ibaka, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, that's fine. Harden, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, that's fine. But there really was nobody. The other three starters after Durant and Westbrook scored a total of 17 points. So it doesn't happen often when Durant and Westbrook shoot poorly, 1 for 12 from 3, less than 33% from the field for all shots for both guys. Well, it's very hard for them to win. Sometimes Harden will go off, but he didn't yesterday, 4 for 10 for 12 points. But the Clippers, 38-23, Oklahoma City, 44-17. No, the Clippers can't catch them, but they're only 6 games behind record-wise, and again, with the pickup of Nick Young, with Paul and Griffin now with, 60 games between them, I think the Clippers can cause some damage in the playoffs. Again, I don't think they can beat the Thunder, at least not this year, in a 7-game series, but that's a huge win. I think a statement win for the Clippers, 92-77 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. A few other games with playoff implications and interesting games as well. Dallas goes up to Utah to play the Jazz. A very exciting triple overtime game. Paul Millsap with a follow-up dunk just before the buzzer to force overtime. Dirk hits a 3 to force double overtime. And then in the third overtime, it's Utah winning 123-121. Now, Utah struggling mightily to make the playoffs. Again, I didn't think they'd be 500. Give Ty Corbin, their new coach, who took over for Sloan last year, give him a lot of credit. Utah 32-30 and right in the midst of the playoff battle, and we'll get to that in a minute. But yesterday, the Jazz beat the Mavericks 123-121. Al Jefferson is a beast. 28 points, 26 rebounds, 14 for 25 from the field, two blocks. The guy's unbelievable, and the MVP of that team. Hayward, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Harris, 23 points. Millsap, 16 and 9 rebounds. I mean, they have a very good team. Matt Carroll, 15 points and 6 assists. He's come on, played 44 minutes last night. So the Jazz get a much-needed victory, triple overtime, 123 over 121 over the Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki, 40 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Westwood, 16 points. Terry off the bench is Terry, 27 points. Carter off the bench with 18 points. But it's not enough as the Jazz get a big, big win for them and their playoff chances, 123-121 over the Dallas Mavericks in triple overtime. One very surprising game yesterday, the Bulls with the best record. And again, maybe they think they've clinched. I certainly thought they had before last night's game. How are they going to lose to the Wizards? But they do lose to the Wizards, 87-84. No Derrick Rose again, in and out of the lineup. They need to just take him out and rest him until he's well. No Luol Deng also, and you know maybe that's why they lost. But the Wizards in Chicago beat the Bulls, Wizards 87, Bulls 84. For the Wizards, this Serafin is a very good player. Kevin Serafin has come to the fore in the last 15 games for the Wizards as a big-time NBA player. He had 21 points and 13 rebounds yesterday. John Wall, 16 points, 5 assists. Evans off the bench with 14 points. Give Washington credit. They're only 15-46, but they certainly played hard yesterday, and they get a win over the undermanned Bulls. For the Bulls, Rip Hamilton, who you're expecting to be that number two scorer, 9 for 20 from the field, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. C.J. Watson, who took Rose's place, 17 points, 8 assists. Boozer, 16 points, 13 rebounds. Joakim Noah, 6 points, 11 rebounds. They got very little off the bench yesterday. Taj Gibson with 8, Korver with only 3. They get a total of 17 points off their bench. Washington Wizards, 87, Bulls, 84. This is, of course, important with respect to the number one seed in the East, and we'll get to those standings in a minute. A few other games to look at. The Magic, now they announced, you know, Dwight Howard has that herniated disc. He's out for the rest of the regular season. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to play in the playoffs. You know, that strange blow-up with Stan Van Gundy last week, it's just very weird. I did 3 hours on WFAN this past Sunday morning, and I had as one of my guests Coach Brendan Malone, who's Stan Van Gundy's top assistant, and he said it was just surreal, the whole atmosphere, that in fact, when I said to him, I assume you guys want to come in sixth, you don't want to be seventh or eighth to play the Bulls or the Heat, he said, we're just hoping we can make the playoffs. But yesterday, without Dwight Howard, but with the return of Kyle Anderson, who really is a guy who can score the ball, the Magic at home beat the 76ers, who needed a win as well. Magic 113, Philadelphia 100, a very good win for the Magic. Kyle Anderson, 26 points on 11 of 16 from the floor. He hit both of his threes. You know he can make a three. 16 rebounds as well. J.J. Redick with 18 points. Jason Richardson with 17. When they get these outside shooters going, Jameer Nelson with 16 and 13 assists. I mean, they're still a good team. Obviously, nowhere near as good without Dwight Howard. But they get a big win yesterday. And frankly, they get it pretty easily. They score 61 points in the first half. They're only up 6 at the half, but they move that up to 11 after three quarters, and they win 113-170 over the 76ers. Jrue Holiday, good NBA point guard, 18 points, 8 assists. Thaddeus Young, 15 points. Iguodala, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. To me, he's a human highlight film. Lou Williams off the bench with 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Evan Turner off the bench with 13 points and 5 rebounds. So the 76ers, I mean, Doug Collins has done an unbelievable job. They're 2 games over 500. They're fighting for the last 7th and 8th playoff spot with the Knicks, which they should make the playoffs. But again, we'll go over the standings in a couple of minutes after we get through the rest of the NBA games. One other game to look at in detail, Nuggets and Rockets also battling for the bottom playoff spots in the West. Nuggets in Houston beat the Rockets 105-102. Denver now 34-27. Houston now 32-29. Aaron Aflalo with 26 and 5 assists. For Denver, Ty Lawson with 25 points, 4 rebounds. Danilo Gallinari, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Al Harrington off the bench with 15 and 9 rebounds. Brewer off the bench with 11 and 2 rebounds. Again, Denver doesn't have that superstar, but they do have a very good team. And they should make the playoffs. Again, I don't think they can cause any damage. You know, they got a lot of good players when they traded Carmelo, but they did lose their superstar. And I think most people still think that you need superstars to win in the NBA. Certainly I do. For Houston, Parsons and Dragic with 21 points apiece. Lee with 18. Luis Scola, 14 points, 13 rebounds. A very underrated NBA player, but it's not enough. Nuggets, 105. Rockets 102. Quickly through the rest of the games now. The Spurs, the Ageless Wonders, bury Golden State 120-99. I mean, this was an interesting game because Parker had 8 points in 14 minutes. Ginobili had 12 points in 14 minutes. Duncan had 13 points in only 11 minutes. Nevertheless, the Spurs bury Golden State 120-99. Robinson with 30 for the Warriors. The Suns beat the Trailblazers in a game that has meaning for the Suns, trying to make that last playoff spot, 125-107. Marcin Gortat with 20 and 10 rebounds. Nash, who else, with 13 assists. The Heat beat the Nets as King James scores the last 17 points of the game. The Nets actually led for most of the game, but the Heat comes back to win 101-98 over the Nets. LeBron with 37 points and 7 assists. Bosch with 15 rebounds to lead the Heat. Humphries with 29 points and 8 rebounds for the Nets, Chris Humphries. Also, the Hawks get a win 109-87 over the Raptors. Joe Johnson with 21. DeRozan has 22 for the Raptors. The Timberwolves, a non-competitive team now without Kevin Love out for the season with that concussion. Pacers 111, Timberwolves 88, West with 22 for the Pacers. And finally, the lowly Hornets beat the even lowlier Bobcats in Charlotte. Hornets 75, Charlotte 67. Vasquez leads the Hornets with 20. Henderson gets 27 for the Bobcats. Want to go over the standings quickly. Again, in the East now, I thought that race for the top spot was over, and it's not. Right now, Chicago with that bad loss to Washington yesterday in Chicago. Again, no Rose, no Dang, we understand, but Chicago 46-15, Miami 43-17. Obviously, you look at the loss column, Miami with two more losses, but this Thursday, Chicago and Miami play again. So Miami, which you thought blew it all the other day when they lost to Chicago, now has a chance maybe to catch Chicago because they're only two games behind in the loss column. Indiana pretty locked in at third at 39-22. Boston and Atlanta and Orlando all tied for fourth. Boston gets the nod on tiebreakers at 36-25, three games behind Indiana. Boston fourth, Atlanta fifth, Orlando sixth, all with 36-25 records. Now, New York has the tiebreaker over the 76ers. They're both 31-29 with six games to go, obviously. Milwaukee, the only other team with a chance to make the playoffs in the East, they're 29-31. So they're two games behind Philly, two games behind New York. Doesn't look like either New York or Philly could move up. You'd need a total collapse from one of the teams above them because New York and Philly have four more losses than Orlando, Atlanta, and Boston. So it's really a three-team race for two spots, New York, Philly, Milwaukee, with Milwaukee right now two games behind. In the West, San Antonio has moved into the lead, best record in the West, Oklahoma City with that loss to the Clippers. So San Antonio 43-16, Oklahoma City 44-17, one game out in the loss column, even though they have one more win. The Lakers are third at 39-22, but here come the Clippers at 38-23. Those are your top four. Memphis 35-25 is fifth. Denver 34-27 has now moved into sixth with that victory over the Rockets. Dallas 34-28 in seventh. And you can make a case fighting for their playoff lives now. Phoenix has moved into the eighth spot with 32-29. But here, there are two other teams, Houston and Utah. Houston 32-29 after their loss yesterday. Utah 32-30 after their big triple overtime win over Dallas. So what you have is Denver, Dallas, Phoenix, Houston, Utah, those five teams battling for the final two playoff spots. And that is a real battle. People were talking yesterday with amazement that Dallas might not be able to make the playoffs. I think, of course, they will. But again, we discussed it. I have no idea why Mark Cuban wouldn't sign Tyson Chandler, whatever the money. The only reason they won the title last year is because they finally bulked up their defense with Tyson Chandler. And pretty much the only reason they have no chance to win a title this year is because they didn't re-sign Tyson Chandler. I've also commented on J.J. Barea, who went off to Minnesota, I guess, to get the money. But right now it's Denver, Dallas, Phoenix in the playoffs, Houston, Utah out of the playoffs, but only three losses. And the losses is what you look at. Only three losses separate five teams, Denver, Dallas, Phoenix, Houston, and Utah. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, two of those five teams will not make the playoffs. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring
flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to all the Major League Baseball. First, a few miscellaneous things. There's more concrete what Sean Payton has to do with respect to his suspension. It came out last night that he now cannot have any contact. His suspension started yesterday, his one-year suspension. He cannot have any contact with anyone in the Saints organization, either football-wise or non-football-wise. He also cannot talk to other NFL coaches, which, man, is pretty amazing. This is really a suspension, a one-year suspension. And if he does do it accidentally or, I guess, on purpose, he has to report to the NFL that he had some contact. And, for example, Adam Schefter on ESPN was saying that Peyton and Mickey Loomis, the GM, have summer homes like a mile apart from each other on a beach somewhere. I don't know if he said Florida or somewhere in Louisiana. I don't know where they are. But they live near each other in the summer. And apparently, even if they see each other and say hello, if you can imagine this, Peyton's going to have to call the NFL and tell them that he just had some contact with the general manager, who also, by the way, is under suspension. I can't believe two guys who are suspended can't talk to each other. But apparently this is a very strict no-contact rule with respect to Sean Payton and Loomis and Joe Vitt. I guess at least Joe Vitt's going to be the coach until the season starts. Then he's gone for six games. Then he'll come back and be the coach. And while he's gone for those six games, it'll apparently be coaching by committee. A couple of other things with respect to the Saints. You know, Drew Brees was franchise tagged by the Saints. He wants a long-term deal. They're apparently not close in negotiations. He seemed a little bit frustrated. Brees was in New York yesterday as a member of the executive committee for the players who were supposed to be presented with bounty evidence, evidence showing exactly what these players did. You know, there's been a real, I don't know if it's a behind-the-scenes spitting contest or what it is, but the league came down obviously very hard on the upper management, and it's a little more murky, I would say, with respect to the players. How are you really going to know who did what? Apparently no major injuries came out of this bounty system, but what are you going to do to players who were just following orders? And Brees is part of that committee, and he said yesterday when interviewed outside NFL headquarters in Manhattan that he didn't see any evidence. So there's a lot of, man, if you're Drew Brees, you've been franchise tagged, you want a long-term deal. You're involved with the Players Association, you want to know how they're going to come down on your defensive teammates, and you can't talk to your coach. I mean, that's tough for New Orleans, and I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying that's going to be a very tough deal to do. A few other things. Eli Manning, and yes, this isn't really football, but Eli Manning is going to host Saturday Night Live on May 5th of this year. Peyton Manning already did it a few years ago. Peyton seems to have more personality than Eli, but Eli has more Super Bowls than Peyton, and that's all that counts. Interestingly, Peyton Manning, of course, the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Broncos signed Brandon Stokley, who was a running mate of Manning's for a number of years in Indianapolis. He got a one-year deal to go to Denver, so you know the timing is down there. Manning was interviewed yesterday talking about timing at the OTAs and how he's working on it now for, you know, September, October, November, December, January. But to get Stokley is more like a security blanket, I would think, for Peyton Manning, but they have Decker, they have Demaryius Thomas. I mean, they've got some good receivers in Denver. I think they're going to be all right. Yesterday also was the first day and this might very well become a circus this summer in New York, but it was the first day of Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow being in the Jets camp together. And, of course, Tebow has said all the right things, and everyone's saying Sanchez is the starter, Tebow is the backup. But interestingly, Von Miller, the excellent defensive rookie for Denver last year, said, there's no way Tim Tebow's going there to be the backup. You know, that's not going to sit well with him. You can bet he wants to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. Now, the Jets announced that Tebow obviously is going to be the quarterback in the Wildcat, but he may line back. He may line up at fullback. He may line up at halfback. He may line up as quarterback in the Wildcat. And again, I think we talked about this. The Jets ran 990 running and passing plays last year combined. That was 990. And the Jets also announced, or Rex Ryan said, we're looking at using Tebow up to 20 plays a game. Now, if they're looking at using him as a quarterback in the Wildcat up to 20 plays a game, that'll be like a third of their plays for the year. So you got to wonder now, are they going to be both on the field with Sanchez behind center and Tebow as a running back, something he's always said he didn't want to do? Are they going to put Tebow at quarterback and split Sanchez out wide? And I'll say it again, I don't know why every time a quarterback isn't split out wide on a Wildcat, he doesn't get leveled by the cornerback. I mean, you can hit these guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I don't know if there's an unwritten rule that you don't hit the quarterback like you don't hit the other guy's goalie in hockey. I don't know. But that's pretty interesting stuff. A couple of other quick miscellaneous notes, then we'll get to all the baseball. You know that Dwight Howard is out with that herniated disc for the rest of the regular season and maybe for part of the playoffs. Well, Big Baby Davis, formerly of the Celtics, has taken Howard's place, and he actually has been playing pretty well. But yesterday he had an MRI. He hurt his knee. According to the MRI, there's no structural damage, so he just has a hyperextended knee. So we'll have to see if he can play, because if they lose Howard and Davis, then they become very small, lose the big rebounding part of their game. But Davis, this is a big opportunity for him. He's the starting center if he can play. And it looks like it's day-to-day right now, but at least there was no structural damage on his knee that he hyperextended the other night. Finally, under miscellaneous, the Roger Clemens jury selection started yesterday. Just the jury selection alone is going to take about a week. And, you know, Rusty Harden, who's Clemens' lawyer, is... this is what he does, trying to charm all the jurors. There were actually legal arguments back and forth about whether he could make, you know, comments about himself. He tries to, you know, become buddy-buddy with the potential jurors, and that's part of his shtick as a top trial attorney. So we'll keep an eye on Clemens, but I don't think anything's really going to happen. Openings, the earliest, will be the end of this week, most probably starting next week. Let's get to the Major League Baseball now. Number of fascinating games, but first the Boston Red Sox. And look, Bobby Valentine was in New York for a long time. He's pretty much a my way or the highway guy. Walks into a situation in Boston where they collapsed incredibly last year. A lot of people think it was because Terry Francona was just too nice a guy. Nobody's going to accuse Bobby Valentine of being too nice a guy, but he questioned Kevin Youkilis, who I think is the heart and soul of the Red Sox now, he and Pedroia, especially with Ellsbury out for 6 to 8 weeks with that shoulder injury. Valentine said he didn't think that Youkilis was mentally or physically ready as he has been in the past, and, you know, that was shocking to Youkilis, and maybe more important for Valentine, it was shocking to Pedroia, and Pedroia was saying things like, you know, maybe Bobby doesn't know, but that's not how we do things around here. You know, essentially saying you got to keep it all in-house and saying things like, maybe that's how they do it in Japan, but Bobby will find out you can't do it here. And when Valentine found out that Pedroia was upset as opposed to just Youkilis, he totally backed off. He totally apologized. I've never seen Bobby Valentine like that. But things for the Red Sox are just so-so. You know, they started off, I think, 1-5. Now they're 4-6. They're in a very tough division, obviously. But Valentine doesn't seem to be, to me, a guy who has really changed. You know, I think when you get into your 60s, it's hard to change a brilliant baseball guy. But Pedroia came out and publicly spanked his own manager. And look, the reality is, in the room, if you're Youkilis, if you're Big Poppy, if you're Pedroia, you've got two rings and Bobby Valentine's got nothing. You know, he might have a championship in Japan, but I doubt that that holds much water in a major league clubhouse where you have a lot of veterans who broke the 86-year Babe Ruth curse. So these guys have been around Boston for a long time, and I'm talking about Pedroia, Euclid, Big Poppy. They know what the deal is. So the rumors are there's a lot of guys in Boston who don't like, a lot of players who don't like Valentine. That won't be the first time. But in any event, yesterday, after beating Tampa Bay, crushing them 2 days in a row, big game James Shields closes the door on the Red Sox, and the Rays beat the Red Sox 1-0. Shields goes 8 1/3, 4 hits, no runs, to go 2-0. Rodney comes in for his fourth save of the year. Tampa Bay 5-5. Rodney with 4 saves. So, you know, again, this is going to be a bang-bang division. Obviously very difficult. Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa Bay, even Toronto's pretty good. The Orioles, you know, to me, they're just in the, they're in the wrong division. But in any event, Tampa Bay scores their only run when Bard, the converted reliever, walks Evan Longoria on 4 pitches with the bases loaded. That's their only run. Tampa Bay 1, Boston nothing. Shields was great and gets the win. He only gave up 4 singles, 5 strikeouts in 8 1/3. But almost the bigger story was Euclid, who's only hitting 200 but didn't play yesterday because of a slight groin injury. You know, really looked shocked. He said, I have no idea what he's talking about. I play hard. I do the best I can. I always try. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a gamer, and he is. Again, you got to wonder, did Valentine just say that to egg him on? Or, you know, in fact, they asked Pedroia that, and that's when Pedroia said, well, maybe that works in Japan, but we don't need to do that here. We don't need to be egged on. I think he's right. Look, these guys have won 2 championships. I think Boston folded last year because Euclid couldn't play the last 3 weeks. I think if Euclid could have stepped on the field, they would have made the playoffs. You know, they had that epic collapse in Tampa Bay. Longoria hit that home run against the Yankees to put Tampa Bay into the playoffs and Boston out of the playoffs. If Tampa Bay had lost that game, there would have been a one-game playoff. But I thought Euclid was arguably the MVP, and sometimes you find out the MVP of the team when he doesn't play as opposed to just when he does play. So anyway, Valentine retreated quickly. If you're from New York like I am, you've never seen that out of Valentine. He'll always stand and fight. But yesterday he must have seen that he made a mistake, you know, claimed that Euclid misinterpreted what he said, or that wasn't really what he meant. You know, the usual problem when you make a mistake. Yesterday for Tampa Bay, Jennings, the only guy with more than one hit, he was 2-for-4. Again, Longoria gets the game-winning RBI by drawing a bases-loaded walk, which drove in Sean Rodriguez. Shields 2-0, Bard 0-2, but Bard 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 7 walks, which is why he was pulled, of course, and 7 strikeouts. But Bard was much better this time than last time, but he does drop to 0-2. Only guy who got more than one hit for Boston was Cody Ross, who got 2 singles off of James Shields. Of course, Ross very frustrated. He was called out on a bad pitch by Larry Vanover. Vanover's the guy who called Jason Bay out last week on a pitch that was 6 inches outside. And Bay's come back from that, actually. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes as well. But yesterday, you know, when the umpire widens that zone to a place where you can't hit, it's a very difficult game to play. It's difficult enough when you've got a good ball strike umpire, but Larry Vanover has a very wide strike zone. You got to wonder if the head of the umpires will call him in and show him these pitches. These pitches are not 1 inch outside. They're 3, 4, 5, 6 inches outside. Another interesting game because Justin Verlander is pitching, and if you ever have a chance to see Verlander live, I've seen him live twice. It's scary how good he is. But the Tigers beat the Royals 3-2. Now, you'll recall in his first start, he left the game late with the lead. Tigers gave up the lead. In his second game, he stayed in and gave up 4 earned runs and lost the game. Yesterday, after 8 innings, Tigers 3, Royals 1 after 8. And, of course, the question is Verlander coming out for the ninth, or is he going to give it up to the bullpen? He decides to come out in the ninth inning. Actually gives up a run, and there's men on base. Base is loaded, 2 outs, but he gets out of the jam, Justin Verlander. He does get the win. He throws a complete game, 131 pitches, which, you know, I'm sure will make some people shake and quiver nowadays, but it's Justin Verlander. He can do it. Detroit 3, Royals 2. Believe it or not, that's Verlander's first win of the year. Complete game, 7-hitter, 2 runs, both earned, 9 strikeouts. His ERA is 2.13, yet in 3 starts he's 1-1. And again, that's the old, that's baseball. Duffy, a good young pitcher for Kansas City, he takes the loss. He's 1-1 as well, 6 2/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He did, however, give up 2 home runs, a 2-run shot for Brandon Inge, his first of the year, and a home run to Austin Jackson, his second of the year. Jackson, the leadoff man that the Yankees traded to Detroit a long time ago, batting .405 in the leadoff spot, including that home run and RBI that he had yesterday. So the Tigers beat the Royals 3-1. Verlander gets the win. Duffy, a good young pitcher, he takes the loss. But again, Verlander was lights out for 3 games, and now he's 1-1. Again, that's how it goes in baseball sometimes. Twins beat the Yankees 7-3. The M&M boys have a good day. Mauer 3-for-4 with a run and an RBI. Morneau 2-for-5 with a home run. Minnesota 7, Yankees 3. Pavano, Carl Pavano gets the win. He's 1-1. I think Pavano won like, I think it was like 10 games over 4 years for the Yankees when they paid him $40 million. But look, when he's healthy, he's good. He moves to 1-1. He beats the Yankees. He gives up back-to-back homers to Jeter and Grandison in the first. But they come back. Twins come back, and they get the win. Twins 7, Yankees 3. Quickly, the rest of the games in the American League. Orioles beat the White Sox 10-4. Strop gets the win. Stewart takes the loss. Baltimore had a bunch of home runs. Reimold hit his third. Adam Jones hit his fourth. Wieters, the catcher, hit his fourth. A.J. Brzezinski hits his third for the White Sox. And also, the Angels beat the Athletics 6-0. Weaver gets the win. He's 2-0. McCarthy takes the loss. Kendry Morales hits his first of the year. Albert Pujols still without a win. Quickly, we'll go to the National League. The Phillies against the Giants. Doc Holliday beats Lincecum. Phillies 5. Giants 2. Nationals, the first place Nationals beat the Astros 6-3. Strasburg moves to 2-0. Whalen takes the loss. He's 0-2. Ramos of Washington gets his first of the year. The Mets beat the Braves. The Nationals are in first at 8-3. The Mets are in second at 7-3. They beat the Braves 6-1. Dylan G gets his first win. Hanson takes the loss. He's 1-2. Ike Davis hits his second, and Jason Bay, who climbed the wall to rob Jack Wilson of a home run, Bay gets his second home run as well. Diamondbacks beat the Pirates 5-1. Saunders goes to 1-0. Bedard takes the loss. He's 0-3. Hill, Young, and Power get home runs for Arizona. And the Rockies beat the Padres. I'm sorry, the Padres beat the Rockies 7-1. Lupke gets the win. Guthrie takes the loss. I want to go quickly now to the TV. Hockey playoffs tonight. Panthers at Devils, 7 o'clock on the MSG Network. Predators at Red Wings, 7:30 Eastern on the NBC Sports Channel. Coyotes at Blackhawks, 9 o'clock Eastern on CNBC. TNT doubleheader, Celtics at Knicks, Spurs at Lakers. Celtics at Knicks, 8 o'clock Eastern. Spurs at Lakers, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 out at the Staples Center. Major League Baseball today, an MLB Network doubleheader. Rangers at Red Sox, 7 o'clock Eastern. Phillies at Giants, 10 o'clock Eastern. Eastern. Twins at Yankees on the YES Network, the Yankee Network at 7 o'clock Eastern. Mets at Braves on the SNY Network, the Mets Network. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern as well. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.